Hi, friends. Thanks for joining us. Smash that subscribe button. Benny, where can they find us on social media?
Yeah, you can find us, Ray Benny Sports. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everyone's favorite TikTok. And check us out also on Reddit. Join the conversation there. And one last thing, don't forget, leave us a rating on your favorite podcast provider.
We got the good, the bad, and the ugly with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in their matchup against the Calgary Stampeders. We got grades to give out for all the other CFL teams, and we got some hot topics to look at, including the Red Blacks QB situation. But let's start off with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Winnipeg starting off slow, tying up the game, then taking control of the game in the second half. What was good for you in that game?
Yeah, just going back to, like you're saying, tying the game late in that first half. The big play for me was Greg McRae, 68-yard TD. It tied the game up 11-11 going into halftime, but it was just a great play all around by McRae. With the double move, getting downfield open, and Kolaros just finding him, the fake to the swing pass and then finding him downfield. It was a great play. It turned the game around for the Bombers, finally got them into the game, because that offense was sputtering. And just Greg McRae, even later on with the 102-yard missed field goal return.
Yeah.
And dude just ran out of gas at the end, but he was chugging. It's too bad he couldn't make it in there, but it was a great game all around from McRae.
Yeah, what a weapon. Like last week, talking about how they got to find a way to get this guy permanently on the roster. Now, no matter what of the ratio, figure it out. And I think they got things to figure out because he is someone that you have to have in the field. Reminds me of Archie Amerson, number 9.
Oh, yeah.
Killer. Brady Oliveira, talking about the good. Another good game. Second half, pounded the ball. 75 yards, 15 carries. Really helped take Calgary's soul in that second half, especially with that crazy long 9-minute-plus drive that they had. Brady Oliveira coming into his own, I think, now.
Yeah, that drive was 10 minutes, 49 seconds. 14 crazy plays. And the worst thing about it is ended up with just a field goal on it after all that. But yeah, like you say, Brady Oliveira, slow first half along with like the rest of that Bomber offense. But yeah, second half, they pounded in. That's quite the drive when it's that late in the game and you can churn out a drive like that almost 11 minutes to put the game away. That is crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For me, D-line, Willie Jefferson, again, recording, another 2 sacks. And he was crazy. A force in that backfield quite a bit. And Jackson Jeffcoat may not have ended up on the stat sheet, but he was a force on the other side, allowing Willie. He basically got an assist on one of Willie's sacks. He just led Meyer into Willie Jefferson. So another great game for him, man. It's nice to have him back there. Wow.
It's funny. I think this is the first time for me where I have someone or something in the good and the bad. The D-line kind of was really bad to start the game off. I remember we were messaging each other and you're like, yo, have the linebackers lost a step? I'm like, it's hard to tell because the D-line's not putting a hand on this running back. That Mills went crazy for 70 plus yards like in the first quarter. So I was kind of worried about the D-line, but then they kind of, they went a few drives stopping him. Then Calgary couldn't get any momentum going. And like you said, Willie Jefferson just bringing the heat. And we talked about that matchup with the backup left tackle that they had going in, and they really got some damage on that side with Willie Jefferson.
Yeah, for sure.
Ooh, yoy, yoy. Demario Houston, primetime North again. He's a real deal. All this guy does is take the ball away, and he does it when the Bombers need it most. You talk about that touchdown. The Houston interception set up? Go ahead.
Last game, the Alexander interception on the goal line. That one? But Houston has that at some of their good plays this so far this season that have changed things around. So
didn't the Houston pick set up the Bomber touchdown that put them in a lead?
No, the pick set up the second touchdown, I believe.
Yeah, that put the Bombers in a lead.
Yeah, the blocked punt, the partially blocked punt gave him the first touch, helped the first touchdown. Yeah, and then the Houston interception led to the leading TD. Yes, yeah.
That's what I'm just talking about. Demario Houston.
You're talking about the first touchdown.
Chill. My goodness, you're taking on this unnecessary ride. No, also, Sergio Castillo, 3 for 3. 11 straight this year, 21 straight dating back to September of last year. He's good.
Yeah, he's money.
Oy, oy, oy. Anything else good?
Speaking of that partially blocked punt by Brian Cole, that was a great play again. The Bomber offense again, wasn't getting much going, and that blocked punt helped, again, this is going back to McRae touchdown now.
Oh, no doubt.
Help set that up. with a big play, 24-yard punt, when the Calgary punter was pinning the ball on his back and starting every drive pretty much inside the 20. So it was a great play, and it helped change things around as well for the Bombers.
Talk about punters. I didn't mention this in the good, bad, or ugly at all. Are you concerned about the Bombers' punting situation? Like, not concerned, but has your opinion changed?
Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, he had that one punt where, unlucky for him, it hit the pylon, right? Otherwise, he would have pinned Calgary deep. But other than that, all his punts seemed short. Like, there was not enough power, or he didn't seem to be putting enough into it. You know, like, Calgary was started at the 40 pretty much every time, you know, after returns and stuff. So I am a little concerned. I am concerned.
Yeah, the confidence. I don't know if it's in his head now, but he's shanking some balls and not getting them as high and deep as he did before.
Yeah.
Should we move on to the bad?
Yeah, let's do it.
How about them leaving some points on the field? Like you mentioned, they only got a field goal on that long ass drive. And they only got a field goal when they also got on the McRae return.
Yeah.
It's like they got to punch those in, and they could have buried Calgary at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with those. Those were, I was kind of talking to the TV at those point, that point on both of those, and going, how are you not getting a touchdown here? You know, like this offense is not what we were expecting it to be. I mean, we had a discussion way earlier. Will this be the greatest Bombers receivers corpse of all time, right? And so far right now, it's not even challenging that. And I don't know if it's a fact that the O-line was struggling a bit in that first half, you know, getting beat a lot. Zach Lawrence ended up taking 3 sacks, I think, this game, you know, and a lot of other pressures. The running game couldn't get it going. So right now, it's a bit of a concern. Second half, they put that to bed, kind of, but it's not like they were going crazy scoring touchdowns, right? They only ended up getting one more touchdown. So
yeah, and the slow starts at home too.
Yeah,
like it's BC and Calgary. Like, you know, you don't want to revisit that BC game, but you got to look at that. Like, it's a bit of concern that they can't get things going early in the game.
Yeah, yeah, at home, that's the thing. That's kind of what I was alluding to again that day of the game. It's like, wow, you're at home.
Yeah,
like you should be up, you should be moving the ball, but Calgary looked like the better team.
Absolutely, so much energy, great crowd.
What's
going on? Any other bad?
Just Jannerin Grant getting hurt. Although it did help McRae get that crazy return, but I still want Jannerin Grant back there. I haven't seen too much on him. I guess they haven't really started practicing this for this week. So hopefully he's okay.
Yeah, I couldn't believe, like, there's some people like, oh, you know what? If McRae was in shape, he would have brought that to the house. Are you kidding me? Like, you go out there and run 65 yards across that field, dodging and jumping around, see how far you go full tilt. Give me a break. Some people.
It was 102 yards downfield, but plus you got to add in the stuff that was going east to west, right? So,
yeah. And then west to east.
Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable. I had the Jannerin Grant injury in the ugly. It is too bad. And hopefully he does return. But it was nice to see that we got to see McRae. But unfortunately, at what cost? Who knows? We'll see when they return to practice. Ugly. You have anything else in ugly?
You know what? I could include that Bomber, and we've already talked about it, but that Bomber first half offense, I could throw that into ugly because it was pretty ugly and frustrating to watch all those 2-0s and them not being able to move the ball. So
Jake Meyer's performance is pretty ugly. 122 yards passing, and like, you pull him when you're only down 2 scores still in the CFL.
I don't know. Dave Dickinson, I don't think he's got it this year, man. You had 70 plus yards of running in the first quarter. You know, I know the Bomber defense started to shut it down a bit, but they only ran, where is it here? Seven more times the rest of the game after that. Mm-hmm. Right. And they only ran, I think, 2 times after half.
That's correct.
And there was one time. The Calgary field goal where they basically ran the ball down the whole field, and then they got in there and they threw 2 passes, and we texted each other and I'm like, what the heck was that? You ran all over the Bomber offense, keep running defense, you keep running the ball. So I don't get what they're trying to do there.
Yeah, abandoning the running game is mind-boggling. It was working so well. Like, you get stopped a few times, but you're going into the half tied.
Yeah.
It's not like you're down 20 points, you have to rally.
No. Like 2 times? 2 more times? Dietrich Mills is all over that, man. Yeah. When I saw he didn't break 100 afterwards, I was like, how's that possible?
That's crazy. Dave Dickinson, what's happening? Any other ugly? Sorry, Jake Meyer is just the truth.
Yeah, just Jake Meyer. I mean, that whole Calgary offense, besides the running game, was pretty ugly. They had a bunch of receivers all together that were dropping balls. Odom Banks.
Yeah.
You know, Bagleton didn't, you know, got a few catches, but not a lot in that game. And I mean, he's coming back off an injury, so I don't know if he's still hurt or not feeling it, but it was a rough game for them.
Jake Meyer is not very good. You know what? I had a stadium burger at IG Field. Are they still going through the stock from Canadiens? Those things are disgusting. We're talking about the ugly, so I just had to put that in there. They're brutal. Oh, like, I get it. They're the basic stadium burger, but you can't be feeding that to people.
Yeah,
not for $6.
No, anytime I order a burger from there, I always wonder where they got it from.
It's
that's stadium food for you, man.
Come on. That's why they forced you to go pay for that $21 burger.
Yeah.
It's delicious, but still. Let's go to friends, Bomber fans. Put your thoughts, you're a good, bad, ugly on the Friday Night Football game. CFL Week 5 grades. Let's start with the first matchup, home and away. Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah, give her.
I'll give those Rough Riders a C. What a horrible effort against a really bad team. They couldn't score a touchdown like it when they're inside the five. Gambling on the goal line. They can't get it. You know, at least the Riders ended their 7-game home losing streak, so they get a C.
It's funny because we criticized Craig Dickinson all the time for kicking field goals inside the 20 or inside the 10 a lot, right? And now he's tried to go for it a few times this season, and they haven't.
He's gonna go in. Back. He's gonna go back to his ways.
Well, their counterpart from that game, the Edmonton Elks, led that game for what, 55 minutes? Or something like that. I'm going to give them a C-. I know it's another loss. They actually battled, though, especially on D. Cornelius didn't look terrible. His completion percentage wasn't great, but he had 58 yards rushing, over 200 yards passing. They only had 3 2-and-outs, but they just couldn't score. And if they had kept Castillo, they'd probably win that game. Because when you're missing two field goals, they're basically chip shots almost. That's not good. That's
you
not
release good. Your best player.
Yeah. First time in 58 years that they've started 0-5.
That's embarrassing.
And the D played so good, you know, besides that last drive. And then, of course, the way they lost on the good old Rouge.
What? Chris Jones again? What are you doing?
Do you not teach?
What's the special teach? What are they doing?
Do you not coach the guy? Do you not let him know this is not American football, that if the ball goes over your head, you want to make sure you hustle and go back to get it? And why was he so far up?
This is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next game. Calgary, Winnipeg. What grade do you got for Calgary?
Keep flipping between a D and a C-. I'm going to give him a D. Their defense played well.
Yeah.
The running game was good for a quarter. And then everything fell apart. Jake Meyer was bad. We've already talked about this. 10 points in that first quarter and then won the rest of the way. I'm going to put maybe more of this blame even on Dave Dickinson and his coaching. But big game against Saskatchewan next, but a D for Calgary.
I'm going to give the Winnipeg Blue Bombers a B+. It took them time to get that motor running. And against a team like Calgary, they got to come out stronger, like we said. The O-line... I texted you, I think, 8 minutes left in the third, and they finally started using the extra lineman and tight end. They got to use that from the beginning of the game. They got to use that bully ball, get Brady Oliveira running downhill and really smashing that defense, because that is so effective. They used it last year, and then when Kincher started playing center, they stopped using it.
Yeah,
and it didn't end up well.
No.
So they got to commit to that. So I'll give him a B+. They got to figure out how to stop the run. They haven't been good against the run this year.
No, yeah, they like you said, they got a good later on in the game kind of thing, but they're giving up a lot. And we kind of questioned too. I know Big Hill went through stuff with his dad passing away in the past week, but overall, that whole linebacker crew, you know, is letting a lot. Dietrich Mills was bullying them kind of thing, the D-line and that. So, yeah, we'll have to see. Hopefully, as the season goes on, to get better. But the D, solid effort in that second half for sure.
Yeah, the D-line's got to tighten up against the run.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. I got the Tie Cats next. I got them in the C+. Good on Mark Leggio, 5 for 5. But he did miss a convert. No. Something about those converts. It's got to be in his head, man. You know, and what's to be said about an offense that they couldn't score a touchdown for over 100 minutes? They got a C. You know what? No, they're going to get, yeah, they're getting a C. Not C+. They're getting a C. I'm changing their grade. It was not that good. So C.
Yeah, and Leggio hit a 50-yarder too, didn't he?
Yes.
But he can't hit those converts.
It's in his head.
Red Blacks. I got to give them a D, man. And it sucks because Mazzoli finally came back, tore his Achilles, non-contact. He's done for the year. Maybe career, who knows? This guy's been doing a lot since 2019 after injuries coming back. So,
yeah.
Fourth stringer Dustin Crum came in. Basically, he is a fourth stringer, right, at this point. He has good runs, but 3 turnovers did not help him in that last run of the game where he just cut stuff. Oh. The 2 or the 1 or whatever. But the offense altogether, 276 total yards only for the offense. Tuggle struggled this week. Yeah, not good for the Red Blacks, and it's not looking good unless they can figure out their QB situation.
Oh, the QB situation is not going to be figured out until next year. Good luck. What do you got for the Owls?
I'm going to give them a D. 2 turnovers basically led to 10 points for BC. Again, 7 more sacks given up. Fajardo had some decent yardage and some decent passing, but nothing great. No touchdowns, a lot of field goals. Standback has struggled so far this year. And I don't know if that's him or the old line or what, but we saw Jason Moss last year in Saskatchewan and he barely used the run game there, right? And he hasn't changed anything here. Fajardo's getting killed and no run game. So, and they got the Argos next, so I can see them dropping again.
That hiring is still puzzling. Yeah. Not to diss the guy, but, and of course they have the O-line. They're probably the worst O-line in the league.
Yeah, that East is looking rough again this year.
Again. BC Lions, I'm going to give them an A. They reestablished themselves, I think, for now, as the cream of the crop in the West Division. Adams just chilled, didn't put too much on his shoulders, wasn't there trying too hard. And that strategy works well for him.
Yeah.
Just keep him safe. Use your feet when you have to. And don't force the ball or throw it out of bounds. And a lot of people are saying that, oh, they haven't missed a beat. You know, if they had Rourke, they'd be a much better team. Oh, so yeah. Don't even start with that garbage. They'd probably be 5-0 and a hell of a lot better under Rourke. So don't joke ourselves. And of course, Matthew Betts. Guys at 9 sacks in 5 games. Get out of here.
What's this, do you know what the CFL record is for sacks?
Oh, we just talked about it.
No. Peyton had 23, right?
Oh, who?
No, what's
Grover
his name?
Grover Covington had it before.
Yeah.
Shoot, got to go back in the archives and look at that. That knowledge isn't readily available in the brain. Friends, put your grades on your own CFL teams. Be honest, and also don't be a hater. Let's go into Hot Topics, talking about Ottawa Red Blacks QB situation. That was a mouthful. Apparently, they reached out to 3 last names. He says, I'm good. So they signed Jake Dunaway that they had in training camp and a familiar name in Winnipeg, Tyrell Pigro. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, they're bringing them. Did they sign them or are they bringing them both in? To check them out or whatever.
I think they're bringing them both in.
Yeah, I mean, Jake Dunaway, like you said, he was there in training camp, so he's got some familiarity there, so you kind of need a guy like that. And Tyrell Pigram, like, why not check him out and see, because he had some dynamic plays in the preseason for the Bombers, so bring him in, see what he can do. But either way, even if bringing these guys in, right now, you're to Dustin Crum, 4th stringer, you got Nick Arbuckle still there, your backup, but either way, they're in a rough situation. You know what, if I were them, and maybe they have already, I would call Winnipeg and see if Prukop or Drew Brown is available at all.
Yeah.
At least you got someone a little bit more experienced, but.
Yeah. What kind of capital do they have, though?
Yeah, I don't know. But I feel for the Red Blacks fans, man, because it's just like you got Mazzoli last year and then he got that cheap hit, you know, and then Gappo gets fired, all this, and it's just another struggling season. But they're still in the mix because right now they're still in the playoff spot because Calgary's only 1-3 as well, right? So,
yeah, Pigram is a good pickup, I think. And I agree with you. If they were going to make a trade, if they had anything to trade, I think Krukop would be a great one. He's
readily available. He's been playing football. He's been throwing balls in the USFL.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. So I think he would be great. Or maybe Caleb Evans. He's in Montreal still. He knows the system. He was with them when they were competitive at the end of last year with Bobby Dice. So,
but and surprisingly, let him go. I would have kept him instead of Arbuckle.
Yeah, Debrincrat trade. I knew I'd mess that name up. thoughts on that one?
It's okay for Ottawa. I mean, they got a conditional first back, fourth rounder, and a couple NHL players. I mean, they were basically in a top position, kind of like the Jets with PLD. But I think Debrincrat only wanted Detroit, really. So put them in a bit of a corner. So they gave up a lot last year to get him. The first, second, and third rounders, and plus that first ended up being the seventh overall. So they didn't recoup what they gave up. So in the end, they got what they could get. So it's better than nothing. But yeah, they're on the losing end of this compared to the trade they made last year to get Debrincrat. And what did it bring them? Nothing. He scored a bunch of goals, but no playoffs or anything like that.
No, he needs a center to play with.
Yeah.
So it's good for both teams at this point. He gets to go home. He probably gets to play with Dylan Larkin, a decent center, better than he had in Ottawa, and his production will probably increase. And good for Ottawa because they get players that could probably have the production that Debrincat had in Ottawa, and their salary cap goes down low. So everyone's good. Everyone's happy.
Yeah, good move for Detroit. I do agree with that. I like that for Detroit. Especially because Detroit's made some head scratchers of moves this summer and last summer. So,
what's his name? Eisenman got a good pool coming up. He's building something nice in Detroit.
He does, but his free agent signings are interesting. Like even Sherratt last year for 4 years, $4 million, and there was a few more this offseason too. So,
yeah,
he's getting there. They got to make the playoffs, so sooner than later.
Michael Lombardi floated the possibility of the Rams trading Aaron Donald if the season starts off badly. Thoughts? I say no. This is a franchise player. It's like Palomalo. You run off into the sunset with this guy. He has a good prime 3 and 4 years left of good football in him. And you can build a championship defense around him quickly. And when you have a championship defense, you're already a contender, as you know, who will matter what your quarterback is sometimes. And if you're putting AD on the market, you're admitting that you're kind of rebuilding and you're not going to get max value for him anyway. So yeah. I say you go into the sunset with him. Thoughts for you?
Yeah, unless AD wanted to be traded, then I'd look at something like, if they're going to do it, you might as well do it now and tank the whole season if you're really going to, why wait 6 games in? But only if Donald wanted, because he's, like you say, he's that type of player that's been there from the beginning. And he helped them win that Super Bowl, for sure. Like, he was a big factor in that on that team more than almost anyone else. So if he's okay with it, I would do it. Otherwise, yeah, hang tough and let him ride into the sunset. He was close to retiring even after the Super Bowl win. So you don't know how many years he may be done after this year, but I don't think he wants to be part of a losing situation though. So we'll see how the season goes, but it's a long season when you're losing, especially at his caliber.
Yeah. I can see them being competitive again. They went through a lot of injuries at the beginning of the year last year. They are old.
Yeah.
So they could go through that again. And Cup has really been getting some injuries lately. We'll see, but I keep him. Shout out to Mike O'Shea for tying Cal Murphy's win total as head coach in Winnipeg. That's an amazing feat. Cal Murphy was the first coach that I knew in Winnipeg. I didn't know Ray Yock very well,
no,
to be honest with you. But Cal Murphy, I knew he built so many things, and I saw the good and the bad of Cal Murphy. And it's amazing to see someone like Mike O'Shea, and he's trailing only Bud Grant, and both of them have statues in the plaza. So
is he going to get there?
With one more championship, he's for sure.
Yeah.
And can't deny.
He's Bud Grant. Jeez, I can't believe I couldn't figure out his name. Ended up with 102 wins, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it was just over that. So, O'Shea's not far from that, right? And if the team keeps going the way they are, he could beat that in the next couple seasons. So,
I don't think he needs to beat that number to get a statue, though.
No. Yeah. Another great cup for sure.
Shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've been to three great cups here in the last three seasons. So,
yeah. Do you think a player will ever get a statue there?
Yeah, if anyone, Milt Stegall should have got it, I guess. He's too good looking for a statue, though.
He has a sign.
He has a street, right?
He has a gate.
And then they blew up the stadium there. It's still Milt Stegall way down there, right? So,
maybe. Shout out. Yeah, I already did a shout out. Mike O'Shea. Benny, you have anything to say to our friends?
You know what? Thanks a lot for listening. Don't forget, subscribe, follow, and have a good week.
And of the words of LeVar Burton, we'll see you next time.
Hey, friends and neighbors, don't forget to check us out online on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter at Ray Denny Sports. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Leave a like, leave a comment, tell us what you think.